Uncertainty isn't just a challenge, it's a call to adapt. At Tagoras, we help organizations navigate disruption with clarity and confidence. Whether it's making smarter decisions about your portfolio, understanding shifting market dynamics, or identifying new opportunities for growth, we bring deep experience in strategy, market assessment, and lifelong learning. If you're looking to build a more resilient, responsive learning business, we're here to help. Learn more at tagoras.com/clarity.
Are you, dear listener, are you really feeling strongly connected? Is there a purpose? Purpose is the mitochondria of the connection cell.
I'm Salisa Steele.
I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast. It's gotten incredibly easy to produce and consume content. That means the market value of content is approaching zero. And that means that learning businesses need to provide more than just content. Learning businesses that can provide connection are going to attract and retain passionate and engaged learners. Ginger Johnson believes that connection is everything, and we talked to her in this episode, number 417. Ginger does the work of connection through keynotes, workshops, and other connection experiences. She's the author of Connectivity Canon, Why and How to Connect on Purpose with a Service Mindset. She's an inveterate dinner party host. And as you'll hear in her conversation with Salisa, she's passionate and enthusiastic about her work. Salisa and Ginger spoke in June 2024.
You focus on connection. Why did you choose to focus on connection, and what does connection mean to you?
Wow, those are both. We only have, what, 3 hours? Okay. Why did I choose to focus on connection? Several years ago, I was in a reinvention stage. I like change, Lisa. So I am good with it. Change is growth. And I was at a juncture where I wasn't fired up about what I was doing when my previous businesses, I was waking up frustrated. I wasn't enjoying it. There was more running into walls than there was running out in the fields. And so I said, okay, that's my tell. I need to shift. So then I went through a phase where I thought, okay, if it's not that, then what could it be? And I gave myself the permission slip to discover, to explore. And I would be like a prairie dog, if you can imagine a prairie dog. They come up out of the ground like, oh, wee, and they make those fun little sounds and they're communicating. And then they retreat back inside when they're not quite sure. And I did that a number of times. Maybe it's going to be this, maybe it's going to be that. And then when I finally popped out, of course, the last time is always the time, it was human connection. I'm like, oh, the second I said it to myself, I knew what it was. And the next instant I said, okay, what is it to the world? And so then how am I going to teach this feeling, this ecosystem, this idea that really clearly lit me up instantaneously? And so that's how I chose human connection. It is attached with everything we are and everything we do as humans. And so I like the broadness of it. I also love the depth of it. Previous to being here to record this fantastic podcast, which is a highlight of my day, I delivered a keynote about the joy of belonging. And if you put those letters together, it spells job. So if we're thinking about our job as the joy of belonging, belonging is the ultimate outcome of connection. That's one thing I teach to. I've been teaching to it way longer than it's been trendy. But that sense that we feel, I got to believe you know how this feels too, Salisa, that when you're somewhere and you just know you're in the right place, that's code for belonging. It feels good. It is good. You want to linger. You want to stay. You want to revel in that moment. Those are memories you're building. When we're in places where we don't feel like we belong, we feel very disconnected. There's some different elements going on. That's equally important to learn how to acknowledge so you can keep moving where there is connection.
Well, you talked about the fact that connection is such a broad but also deep area to focus on. And I'm thinking that there are at least three angles that Leading Learning podcast listeners would be thinking about when they're thinking about connection. And one of them is just around their role as leaders, right? As they're trying to connect with the folks on their team, as they're leading that part of their organization really focused on that learning portfolio, connection is going to be part of that So I would love to have you talk a little bit about how you see effective leaders leaning into connection or sort of creating that connection.
Yes, yes. It's very simple. Here's the great thing. Connecting is simple. It is not complicated. Sometimes there are some multi-layers, like a great croissant. It's really very simple. The ingredients are simple. One visual, one tool I teach to, if you will, is imagine ripples, kind of like the target symbol. Self, team, community. Self is at that nucleus point, the very center. Are we connected with ourselves as a leader, as a follower, as whatever our position? I know you specifically asked for a leader. So is the leader, are you, dear listener, are you really feeling strongly connected? Is there a purpose? Purpose is the mitochondria of the connection cell. If you know anything about science, you know that mitochondria powers our cells. I learned this in biology and I will never forget it. When we have that connection with purpose, with ourself, that's the very first. Then it goes to our team, ourself, and then our team. We must be connected ourselves first. The people who are kicking around or pinballing around life, Lisa, they're good people. If you are one of them and you're listening today, you're a good person, and get clear on your purpose. Often when there's disconnect, there is a purpose disconnection. So purpose with self, and then purpose for the team. Does the team know why they're assembled? Do they buy into the vision? Are they all in? Are they excited? Are they a bunch of kids on the playground like, yeah, this is the thing? Or are they running for the fences? So that purpose starts with yourself, then it goes to your team, and then it goes to your community. For the learning and education world, we want to look at that as the teacher isn't the almighty. The teacher isn't the end all. The leader teacher is not the only one who can teach, which I'm going to make that generous assumption that everybody listening here knows that. So then tapping into that self, team, community, how do we make that a continuum, like a slide guitar? Mm-hmm. How do we help ourselves say, I'm open. I teach a lot of different concepts. It'll keep us really simple. I'm open. I'm willing. I'm positive. I'm objective. I'm suspending judgment. That's interesting. Ginger just shared that thing. How could we use that? So the self, team, community, yes, it ripples out. It also ripples back in, just like a reflective ripple on a pond. Eventually it hits the shore and bounces back, especially with something like professional development and learning and education in this realm. Ooh, that's so important, because if the ripples only go out, we don't know what the impact is. The leader can't measure that. You can't wrap your head around it because you're like, I have no idea where that thing went. But if we focus on a ripple that's going to reflect, then we are connected, and it synergistically gets better and stronger. So self-team community is one of the first places I would start.
Well, and I think you sort of already jumped to the next place I was thinking about where connection would come into play, which is with that broader audience. It is with the learners that mm-hmm. leader is trying to serve through their offerings. When you're a leader and you have these daily interactions with coworkers or team, like that seems to sort of lend itself to connection happening one way. When you have that broader community, when you have that audience of learners who you might not even really ever see, you know, if you think about something like an asynchronous e-learning course, it seems like then how connection happens or is fostered is probably a little bit different in that broader community. So maybe A, do you agree? And then B, you know, maybe tease out what you see as sort of some of the skills to potentially tap into connection when it's a little bit more broader and less direct that you have that interaction.
I was a middle school teacher in my 20s, so a few years ago. And one lesson that is directly applicable to what you're asking me right now is that the student and the teacher, in this case, the leader, need the best environment for learning. It's going to be when the student and the teacher are in sync, and not in sync of knowing the same things. They're in sync realizing that this is a partnership. Education is not a lecture. Education is growth. Education is transformation. And when we only say that education is a checkbox or a quota or a requirement, don't expect that to go very far, my friends, because you're checking a box. The means to the end is the box check. I'm not saying that's terrible, but I am saying that there's a different way to approach it. If you really want true growth, as opposed to checking the box, like the $8 billion America spends on inclusion training, which has by research shown that it's largely ineffective. Well, a lot of that is box checking. We're doing the thing because we think we have to. We're jumping through the hoop because we were told to do it. But when we do this by choice, I think that's one of the biggest nuggets here, Salisa. When we are really choosing to be the learner, when we are really choosing to be the leader, we realize that there's a synergy, that there is an alignment of purpose so that the connection can happen. Look, I've done webinars too. Webinars can be hard because you don't get the live, you can't see, there's no chat. I find that learning that platform of delivery, I'll say, to be very challenging. Can you do it? Yeah. Can it be effective? Yes. And that is different than using a different platform where there is interaction capability. That is huge. Don't shut off those avenues if those are part of the tools, because that's the water cooler talk. That's the hello in the hallway. That's the where you and I whisper together because there's something that somebody just said that really resonates. That's connection that we're fostering there. And as the teacher, as the leader, we want to foster that. I'm not talking about interruptions or people being rude. I'm talking about realizing and knowing your students so that you're responsive and not reactive. And the student's role then is to say, how can I best respond? I know that a lot of the people listening and a lot of people you serve, Salisa, are in that zone. Okay, how do we make this offering effective? Knowing that you can't control the student, but you can be in command of some of the other elements. So there's a lot to it. I know that. But if we start with the idea that the leader and the student, the teacher and the student, you want to be aligned with what is the purpose of this and how can we best go forward, then that's a really good jumping in point.
A lot of what you said resonates with how I tend to think of things. You think about the average adult learner, they come with a lot of prior experience, a lot of expertise. And so I think just acknowledging that and leveraging that can help with that sense of connection.
Absolutely. And ask your students, like, what do you want to learn? What do you want to know? Because I remember as that middle school teacher watching my students, the fifth through eighth graders, I mean, whew, what a time. Nobody sticks their hand up and says, I want to go back there. But the great thing is that it's a laboratory. It's a laboratory. So think of your growth, your education, your programs, your professional development. Think of it as a laboratory. It's a big experiment. Release the pressure from yourself. Give yourself a permission slip, like I write in my Connectivity Canon book. Give yourself a permission slip to say, I know what this is, and I know a little bit about this, and I know enough about this that I can provide help for people. And then I'll keep learning. Like, give yourself that grace and space, as I like to teach, and get excited about it. Students can tell when the teacher's bored. Nobody I know wants to go back to those classes. Like, oh yeah, that's when the box checking comes in, right? Well, okay, I'll just finish the thing because I bought it, because I fill in that blank. But when a teacher, when a leader is really focused on how their students are showing up, and just to your exact point, we all keep bringing more forward because we've lived more life. So what can we use? What can we leverage, to use your word? I love that you use that word. What can we acknowledge and leverage so that the learning, the growth is all more powerful for everybody? It's richer, it's deeper, it's more exciting, it's more energetic, it's more promptive, if that's a word, of like, oh, I want more. Yeah, what else we got? This is great. What else is there? Then you know it's really working. Then you know you've connected with yourself, with your team, your students, and the connection is multi-way. It's never a two-way street. It's always a roundabout.
At Tagoras, we partner with professional and trade associations, continuing education units, training firms, and other learning businesses to help them understand market realities and potential, to connect better with existing customers and find new ones, and to make smart investment decisions around product development and portfolio management. Drawing on our expertise in lifelong learning, market assessment, and strategy formulation, we can help you achieve greater reach, revenue, and impact. Learn more at tagoras.com/more.
Part of what we're talking about is making me think about the concept of engagement, which is really big in the learning world. You know, how do you get learners to be engaged, stay engaged? And I'm wondering if you have thoughts on what the relationship is between connection and engagement. You know, it feels like there's maybe some overlap, but yeah, how do you think about them?
Oh my gosh, I'm really glad you asked this. It's also a hot topic in the professional speaking world, which is part of the world I occupy. And people, event planners want people people who are like, engage the audience, but they don't tell us anymore. Teachers want their students to be engaged, but we kind of leave that hanging on a cliff. So there is an enormous super highway between connection and engagement. First of all, you can't make somebody be engaged. You can't. I can't make you do anything more than you can make me do something. So the Gotta-wanna is going to come in. Like, how do I want to get into that zone of like, oh, I really want to do this. I got to do this. And it's very self-actualizing. It's self-inspirational. So the connection between connection and engagement is definitely, is that leader cognizant of who their learner is and how are they tapping into different ways, methodologies, practices, ideas, graphics, exercises, how are they really helping the students fully participate? So it's the tail wagging the dog to a certain extent. The student is the dog. The teacher, the leader can be the tail. And we want it to be more of a different equation. So that engagement is necessary. It has to come from ourselves first. We have to want to do it. And then, yeah, we can't force anybody. I remember that very clearly. And you know this too. We can put things up. We can make things available. We can put courses together. We can offer events, so forth and so on. If people either don't know how to engage, meaning they don't have a model, they haven't been nurtured, they haven't been mentored. Hey, Ginger, we're going to this thing. Here's how I would recommend you pay attention, that you participate. I mean, participation might be a better word than engagement before we get to engagement, because if you ask people to participate, they know more of what that is. Engagement can be listening. Engagement can be a little more static. Doesn't mean that people aren't engaged, but participation, contribution, some different words would probably help tee up engagement more. This is what engagement looks like. It means you contributing in the chat. It means you speaking up in the group and give people examples so then they know what their behavior is that will help them get more out of the learning and put more of themselves in the learning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a definition of engagement that we like to use that part of the reason I like it is because I feel like it speaks to this idea of there being kind of three aspects to engagement, the cognitive, the emotional, and the behavioral. So I think what you're just saying there is it's easiest to see the behavioral engagement, right? It's easiest to see when someone types in the chat or raises their hand or speaks up. And sometimes it may not be the most important, you know, maybe arguably the emotional or the cognitive is more important, but that's harder to see. It's harder for a learning business to go, yeah, we have them engaged emotionally. That's a little harder to say, okay, what's the metric for that?
Right. That's also why surveys are both a bugaboo and brilliant. If done well, they can really be a crystal ball into efficacy, into participation, into what else are people telling me they need. If they are poorly done, they are a complete and total waste of everybody's time. And in fact, they can be a negative because it really erodes faith of somebody listening, paying attention, communication. Like, Ginger didn't respond last time, so I'm not going to bother. I don't know where that thing went. I didn't hear anything. Nothing happened. I mean, you can insert the platitude there. So you're 100% right. Behavior is easier to see or sense. Emotion, so, is harder. At the same time, that's a good challenge for a leader or teacher. How are you going to find out? What are you going to do? Are you going to talk? Are you going to, you know, what are you going to do? There's lots of choices. Picking your choices to match how the audience can respond best. That is, you probably know this better than I do. Like, that is truly essential for finding out if what we're doing is, to simplify it, working.
You mentioned that you're a speaker, you do a lot of speaking, and I know that a lot of our listeners are on the hiring end of, you know, they're looking for facilitators, they're looking for speakers that are going to be part of delivering their educational offerings. So I would love to get your thoughts on what is it that someone hiring a speaker or facilitator, what sort of information can they give that speaker to help set them up for success or to help lay that groundwork for connection?
Oh, I love that you asked this question. Yeah, there's a lot of There's a big difference between professional speaking and speaking as part of your profession. I'm a professional speaker. I put energy investing in my craft. I love it. It is my profession. It's my career. So your question, how can you tee up the speaker to deliver the materials effectively? Is that basically what you're asking me?
Yes.
Okay. I could give you 50, but I'll give you 3. We'll start with 3. If people want more, they can reach out to me. Number one, my favorite question to ask is, what transformation do you want? To transform is to simply to change. So if I ask people, what transformation do you want? Another way to ask that, Salisa, is to say, how do you want people to feel when we're done with this, when this is complete? That is vital. That it's absolutely vital, because people can get a great score, so to speak, but not give a damn. Ineffective. It's not gonna last. It's not gonna stick. They're not gonna be excited. They're not gonna share it. However, if we ask people, how do you wanna feel? Oh, I wanna feel energized. That's a very common response I get. I want people to feel excited. Okay, now those are also really big, nebulous ideas. So then we go farther. Okay, what does excited look like? Oh, it means like people are high-fiving each other in the hall, or that they're calling each other and telling each other about. So we need to put some quantitative on the qualitative. I used to study, I had a company that I did qualitative research for a dozen years. It's absolutely mind-blowingly fascinating. And we tend to chase the question, but we don't chase it far enough. So finding out, what does that actually look like? How does it manifest? How does it show up? And then what might be the ripples that follow? Oh, that, do we get an immediate hit now on the next course? Or do we get people who request the next topic? Ah, then you can see, then it becomes more tangible. I think all of it's tangible. I mean, but this is what I study, and this is, I'm paying attention differently. So ask your speakers to ask you, like, what do you want people to feel? What do you want them to know? What do you want them to be inspired to do? Do you have questions about the material? Because there's sometimes assumptions that the teacher or the speaker or the leader have all the quote answers. And if you're listening to this, I'm holding up my fingers, because it's not about answers. It's about responses. It's about engagement. There's that word again. When people engage, then that comes home to roost. Engagement is kind of like a boomerang. People to engage. So let's go ahead and toss that boomerang, give it a really nice, robust throw, and do the work, the spinning. And if it comes back in a way you want it to come back, then you know you've closed the loop. Ask your speakers if they've done anything similar. That does not disqualify if they haven't, because some of the best people to deliver are people who have never delivered your material. It's fresh. They have all kinds of questions. They're excited about it. They're slightly nervous about it. They want to do a really good job. That's important. Ask them what fires them up about this material, because the people who have a purpose, who can find a personal attachment to what you're asking them to deliver, they'll do better. The people who are tired or just not frothed up in their own way, then it's probably time to examine that or find out what's going on and either release or refresh. So there's a lot. And then I gave you more than 3, but I'll pause there. There's a lot. Overall, think about the speaking as speaking to connect. That's the way I simplify it. And I help different organizations do that sometimes too, but focus on speaking to connect. So ask your speakers questions that get to that.
I appreciate the idea of engagement as a boomerang. And I have friends from college who made boomerangs for a time. And so I spent a lot of time trying to throw boomerangs. It's a challenge to get them to come back. So I like that engagement to do it right takes some skill, takes some practice, takes some effort. So I like that.
So did you, like, is it a lot of throwing out there and going and getting them and trying it again?
Yeah. Yes. And then the interesting thing too, is because they were all handmade, they were slightly different. So you could kind of, then you maybe perfect, this one's coming back most of the time, but then you pick up a different one and you got to sort of adjust a little bit. So yeah, I like the analogy. I think it works. There's a lot of layers to it. Resonates for me.
Wonderful.
So this is the Leading Learning Podcast. And one thing we like to ask all of our guests, given that, is about your own practices and habits and sources for your own lifelong learning. So tell me a little bit about how Ginger Johnson likes to learn.
Wow. I have invested robustly in myself, Celeste. I've learned every single time I've invested in buying a course, in hiring a coach, in going to the event, whatever it is. I enjoy really proactive learning. I enjoy active settings. That is reflected significantly in how, in my own style. I'm a mover, I'm around the room, I'm getting people up and going. We know it's proven that when we move our body, we learn better, we learn differently, we take better care of our brain. So I'm always looking for those kinds of opportunities of what's going on, who's talking about what, who do I already respect, who am I interested in learning more from, who is somebody I don't know and they have a topic or a spot or an event. We've got a good friend right now who's actually trying to get me to go to somebody she really follows. And I looked up briefly who this person was and she learns from too. I should clarify that. And I thought, oh, that sounds great. She asked me to a specific event and that event is not available to me. But I asked her, like, see if you can find something else, because the company you keep when you're learning, you know, do you like to learn solo and then share? Do you like to learn solo and then keep it? Do you like to learn in a party and share it? How do you use your re-entry, as I call it? What do you do when the thing is complete? Whether it's an online course or a 5-day event, a retreat, a sales meeting, doesn't matter what it is. What are you going to do to progress that forward? Is the worth in the participation? And that does have intrinsic value. Absolutely. Is it, I'm going to take it back to my teammates and I'm going to share these three things. So I like being around other people who are excited about their learning. How their personality is not the point, but how they're interested in learning, you can pick that up pretty quick. There's that behavior a little bit again. So I'm looking for places, spaces, teachers, ideas that continue to fuel where I'm going. So if you have any suggestions, I'm open.
I like your emphasis on the peer piece of it, because you're right that there's so much that you can get just even energy wise, you know, from the other learners in the space. And not to mention then the experience and everything else that they're bringing. But if they come with that high level of engagement, then that it just makes it a more, it seems like a richer, kind of easier to learn type experience.
Yeah. Instead of doing that, it's like, whoop, it's going up. Mm-hmm. And you're right. That energy, I'm glad you brought that word into the conversation. That is critical. That is tangible. That is vital. If we're fired up about what we do, then that has enormous value. That stays us when it's tough. That excites us when we need a refresh, keeps us going when we're still super pumped. Yeah. The energy is big. I want to be to that point and I'll wrap this one up. I'm really clear about being with people who are in the positive energy space. Mm-hmm. And I mean, their headset, their mindset, their purpose. I stay away from people who are not in that space. They're not bad people. They're just absolutely not my people right now.
So we've talked about connection. We've talked about connection in the context of learning and as a learning business leader. Anything else that comes to mind that you would like to make sure that we share with listeners before we wrap up?
I would wrap up with this thought in that professional development, which is also the term I use. So I love that you use that as a company and an organization. Professional development is never a once and done. It doesn't matter if it's a single workshop and it never happens again. If we're truly promoting growth, if we're truly setting the stage, the environment, providing the space, the grace for growth, then that will continue. So really taking a look at what is the longevity. What are the legs? How will this connect another dot to something else? What's the lily pad from one lily pad to the next? What is that? And how do we then enjoy learning about what's working and what people are responding to and responding to what we need to improve, what we need to change? So we could probably talk for hours on this. It's really, let's keep it simple. Is where I'm going. Keep it simple, make it simple, keep it simple. Pay attention to the things that matter, let the rest of the stuff go, and just keep connecting with yourself, your team, and your community.
A keynote speaker, an author, and a joyful human, Ginger focuses her work on the why and the how of connecting on purpose with purpose. In the show notes at leadinglearning.com/episode417, you'll find a link to Ginger's website where you'll see the kinds of keynotes and connection experiences she can design and a link to her profile on LinkedIn. She'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn, but be sure to add a note that you heard her on the Leading Learning podcast so she knows the source of the connection.
At leadinglearning.com/episode417, you'll also find options for subscribing to the podcast, and we'd be grateful if you would subscribe if you haven't yet, because those subscriptions give us some insight into the impact of the podcast.
We'd also be grateful if you would rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, especially if you find the Leading Learning podcast valuable. Those ratings and reviews help us show up when people search for content on leading a learning business.
And please help us grow the Leading Learning community. At leadinglearning.com/episode417, there are links to find us on LinkedIn, X, and Facebook.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning podcast.